Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. Podcast 528. Let me sit down here on the bench seat in Mobile Podcast Command. This is the podcast where every week I feature the Bob Davis Podcast radio show. So it's not really live from the studio, but it is live from the studio. I am on a farm about 30 miles south of Chicago. Good high school friend of mine has this really awesome farm, and I whenever I pass through, I stop and visit, and we hang out and work on the truck. Got some new wipers, got some other stuff going, which is great. So a couple of disclaimers. I'm going to just go ahead and run the Bob Davis Podcast radio show for the week. That would be, I call it GCN because it's on the GCN, distribution, the GCN live network. So GCN 36, but it's the Bob Davis Podcast radio show number 36. I love these complex names and numbers. They're terrible. They're hell on people trying to remember them, but I love them. I left Cleveland Tuesday. And the reason I left Cleveland was, A, I did not have credentials to the convention itself, and B, I was walking around Tuesday. And you heard the convention podcast, and I was thinking about that podcast. I knew I was going to do it, and I knew what I had. I'd already laid on all the radio audio tracks and stuff. And I thought, do I really want to stay here? And be, because there was just a feeling of being in it, like you had to be excited about it. And I knew what was going to happen after Monday. So did I want to stay and continue to, sit in the parking lot and pay $20 a day to sit in the parking lot and wander up and down the street and find people to talk to? And I thought, people are going to see it on television. They know what it's all about. We don't have to go any further than what we did. And of course, we now know what happened. So the reason I'm saying that is this show has some original content in it that's not in the podcasts. Of course, the opening segment is always original content, but the last segment, an interview I did with Mandy Benz right after Ted Cruz made his speech, which I think is the story of the convention. There's two stories, and they're tied together. The first story is that the establishment got into bed with Donald Trump. They ended up backing Trump rather than backing a quote-unquote unity candidacy. And you'll hear me talk about that. I'm a little surprised at the quickness with which the establishment jumped on the Trump bandwagon. But the real story is what Ted Cruz did. And I'm not a Ted Cruz supporter. I've been pretty critical of Cruz. So, and I always have to make the disclaimer, I'm not supporting anyone in this thing. And I'm not, out here really shilling for anyone. And the thing that I feel worst about in terms of my coverage of Election 26 is I didn't get to make any Democrat events in the primary. It just didn't work out. And so I really wanted to do both sides. So there's that. That's coming up. I'll get to do some of the Democrat stuff and the Libertarian stuff going forward. But and I don't want to go on too long because these podcasts tend to get really, really long. But this podcast may seem a little dated because it doesn't refer to it doesn't have the story of or the sound from Trump accepting the nomination. But I think the real story was what Cruz did and how he is being vilified for basically refusing to endorse Trump as though it's a prerequisite for being a Republican. And I think this is really one of the chief problems with party politics. And certainly one of the chief problems in the Republican Party. If you want to be the next guy, then you have to play the game. And I don't know what I think about that. And I don't know what you think about it, but it's something to think about. That's for sure. Okay. So without any further ado, let's just get into segment one. Welcome to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. To hear all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. We are live on a farm about 30 miles south of Chicago, and out here on the prairie, it's about 105 degrees out there, maybe 100, maybe 95. I don't want to exaggerate. We are just on the very edge of a storm, so you might hear some thunder, and maybe we'll get some rain. We'll see what happens, but we're headed north from here to the big air show at Oshkosh, which is a perfect antidote to the Republican convention. Coming from Cleveland, when I said the stakes would be raised at the RNC, I was sure on target. And in this installment of the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, as a storm gathers in the distance, I'm going to do a little review of the convention in an unconventional way. Now, I am sure that everybody has seen or heard the roll call votes. You've seen or heard the pundits telling you what all of this means. And I'm sure that you have your feelings about things one way or another, and you are welcome to them, and you're welcome to keep them confidential. I was struck at the difference between the slick television presentation of the 2016 Republican convention at Cleveland and the deep feelings of mistrust, confusion, and anger among the delegates and attendees, and also the confusion that went on there. Now, I spent a lot of time hanging out at something called the Politico Hub, which is located in kind of a historic district on Euclid in Cleveland, in a building called the Huntington Building. It was really a cool Mad Men kind of place. More than once, somebody walked up to me and asked me, can you make some sense out of what's going on and what people think? And more than once, I said, who knows what people are thinking? Maybe what we ought to do is stop trying to tell everyone what we think everyone is thinking. Honestly, there were so many people running around with little cameras, whether they were independent or working for some website or working for a major network, that asking everyone they could find what they thought of all the stuff that was going on. Meanwhile, you've got this TV show that went on for 3 days from Cleveland. There is shock, anger, and a real befuddlement at the Republican nomination of Donald Trump as their presidential candidate. But it goes deeper than that, as you're going to hear in this show. It goes deeper to the rules changes the RNC forced through, according to some. It goes deeper to the heavy-handed tactics of the Trump supporters whipping delegates on the floor and behind the scenes. You call it some might call it hardball politics. Some may call it, unprincipled and heavy-handed political tactics. And most significantly, it goes to the GOP establishment laying down on the bed for Donald J. Trump in the hopes that he is going to win the presidency. And it's all about winning. We must win. We have to win. We need a guy who can win. Or maybe it's about he's going to lose. He can't win. There's no way he can win. So the establishment embracing Trump, what do they have to lose? They can protect the Senate and the House and so forth. I have no idea what they're thinking. I couldn't possibly figure it out, and I'm not going to try to. The bottom line is that some say that the RNC, the Republicans, died at Cleveland. I should say the GOP, the grand old party, died at Cleveland. Some say also that something called a principled conservative died at Cleveland, except for one Senator Ted Cruz, who now famously or infamously refused to endorse Trump, much to the chagrin of those now on the Trump bandwagon, for better or worse. Maybe we should call it a railroad tale. If Trump wins, his supporters are going to have to defend him for 4 years. I hope you guys are ready for this. If Trump loses, Trump supporters will have to defend their choice. And I don't think a lot of people have thought about that. More importantly, win or lose, the Republican establishment is going to have to defend President Trump's decisions in the White House or their choice to join forces with him at the convention. How did it happen? Why wasn't there a bigger fight, as some, including me, certainly expected and predicted? I never predicted the outcome, but I thought the establishment would put up a bigger fight than they did, and they just laid down. Well, we're going to address that question in two segments in the show. First of all, I did an interview with a good friend of mine, Blaze correspondent Mike Opelka, at the Politico Hub. And in the final 10 minutes of this show, we're going to talk to cruise organizer Mandy Benz and get her observations as she exited the hall on the night after the Ted Cruz speech that's kicked up so much dust this weekend. Finally, before the convention, I took a road trip through Michigan's Upper Peninsula and the Lake Huron side of the Great Lakes State and the Great Lakes region, touring Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, ultimately Ohio, and of course you have to include Western New York, although I didn't go there in this trip. It's a great intro, the Great Lakes region, to the convention in a great old city like Cleveland, Ohio, which I actually loved. I love the people of Cleveland. I love downtown Cleveland. I got around and did some other stuff in town, and it's really a great town. And Cleveland, by the way, serves as the inspiration for the famed Gotham in the Batman comic book series. And when you're in Cleveland, especially when you're downtown, you can really feel that Batman Gotham kind of sense. Now, I didn't mention Illinois when I mentioned the Great Lakes states because I am, of course, in Illinois, south of probably the greatest industrial city in history, Chicago. And so this is the Great Lakes region, the industrial heartland of America, which the Republican Party and Donald Trump have pledged to bring back economically. A multi-state region, the Great Lakes region, sometimes referred to as the Rust Belt, inaccurately, by the way, and a region that may end up being the key to the election in 2016 for both Republicans and Democrats. So this is a region that is going to be very, very important to both parties in election 2016. I imagine if you live in the Great Lakes region, whether it's Michigan or Wisconsin or Illinois or Ohio in particular, you're going to be seeing a lot of campaigning from both the Democrats and the Republicans and libertarians as well, in this election cycle. And, there's no lack of strategists now saying that this is probably going to be the key to the election in one of the most unusual elections in U.S. history. So we'll just have to see what happens. But in general, I had a great time on the road trip to Cleveland, and I had a great time in Cleveland because I didn't have credentials to the convention. I was out on the street with the protesters and with people wandering around, and I got a feel for the city, and I got a feel for what was going on outside that hermetically sealed exclusion zone that's protected by the Secret Service and all the police. And I'm really glad I did it that way. I've gone to two of these big conventions with credentials, and I had a great time out with the great unwashed on the streets. And for those of you watching the convention on TV and seeing all these videos of the protests, the media follows the protests. They never got close to the hall. Most of that stuff happened way down by the bus station where Mobile Podcast Command was parked. So a lot of what you see on television is really not what was going on at the convention. When you're outside and you're wandering around and you're seeing this stuff happen, you really get a sense for how much the media changes the story. So it should be a pretty good show. A lot of cool things happened at the convention, and I love talking with Mandy Benz as well. That's all coming up on the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show for this week. Coming up, wake up in the Ottawa National Forest on Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Plus, I'm going to tell you about one of the best things, honestly, you could ever eat. On the road to Cleveland, next. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. To hear more of the Bob Davis Podcast, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Back in Mobile Podcast Command, drinking my coffee, just woke up, sleeping in my hammock. It's weird because when I'm on the road in the truck, I get into road mode, and I'm now, it's like 9 o'clock. I woke up at 8:30 this morning, so that's actually pretty cool. And part of the reason is last night we had a great storm. Now, I'm in Illinois, and you can see these storms coming from miles and miles away because it's absolutely flat. And I sat here last night and just watched the storm roll in. I got some good tape, and that'll be coming up in a future podcast because I'm on this old farm. It's not a working farm anymore. It's just kind of broken down, but it's so cool. It's, you know, Steve's got the grass mowed down really close, and there's trails around and everything, and it's just... sat out here in the back where I'm parked and completely isolated and watched these storms roll in last night. And I couldn't help but think, given this heat, we are having a heat wave in the Midwest. It is summer, and that means heat and humidity. It means storms like the one I saw come in last night, usually with high winds, usually with hail on the back end. That could mean water damage if there's a lot of rain. I mentioned the washout in northern Wisconsin on the way out to Cleveland, and it means damage to the exterior of your home. And with storms and storm damage comes people who knock on your door and tell you that they can repair your roof or whatever. The thing is, you don't know these people, you don't know where they're from, and then you're going to find out that they start demanding partial or full payment up front, and you never know what you're going to get. You don't know whether they're going to do the work or not, and then they disappear. So it's a real problem. And, you know, you say, well, what can I do about that? Because, you know, I don't know who to call. It's the same thing as anything else. When you have a problem which you don't think is going to happen, suddenly you got to call somebody. Well, you call a name that you know. And you've heard me talking about Ed Cairo on the podcasts and Cairo Contracting. 612-702-2357. That's 612-702-2357. The deal is Ed Cairo grew up in St. Paul and Bloomington. Cairo Contracting is a better business bureau accredited business. And because Ed is a local guy, you don't have to worry about him going anywhere. What they do is residential and commercial roofing, siding, gutters, and window repair and installation only. They don't do interior stuff. And yeah, they are storm damage specialists at Cairo Contracting. I mentioned the hail example. You know, if you have hail, it starts to damage your shingles. You begin to get leaks. You have to get the roof fixed. And if you've got insurance, you can do it, but you got to know who to call. For 15 years, call Cairo Contracting, residential and business exterior remodeling experts and storm damage specialists. Ed Cairo, the name you know when it comes to storm damage repair and exterior remodeling, residential and commercial only. They don't do interior stuff. They just do the exterior, which makes them experts in that area. Cairo Contracting, 612-702-2357. That's 612-702-2357. Cairo Contracting. Okay, here is segment two of this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Live from a farm about 30 miles south of Chicago, this is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. On the road to Cleveland, on the way to the convention, I took a little detour, heading through northern Minnesota and Wisconsin to Michigan's Upper Peninsula. The Great Lakes region is going to be central to this election. What's it like? There used to be a place in this country that was a center of industry where the workers and entrepreneurs lived and worked. And this place created a great age in American history. And I'm not talking about Silicon Valley. That's just a valley. I'm talking about the Great Lakes region of the north central United States. And one time, people who lived here made just about everything. They came from all over the world to work in the northern parts of Michigan and Wisconsin and Minnesota, and also in places like Pennsylvania and eastern and western New York, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. In the northern parts of Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, they mined the ore, and then they worked the big ore boats that hauled across the lakes to the big industrial center, Chicago, Detroit, Cleveland, Akron, and then on to rivers to places like Pittsburgh. I've been interested in this region for a long time, and so the purpose of this trip is to tour it and drink it in. So here we go. Well, good morning. Waking up today in Waters Meet, Michigan, just in the middle of the Ottawa National Forest. I would have been up here by 10:30 last night, you know, sundown roughly, 9:30, 10 o'clock, but there was a huge washout, and I got detoured, a three-hour detour, which is quite unusual, you know, for me in the eastern part of the United States. Got into Michigan at Ironwood on Route 2, because I had to come all the way back around to the other side of Ashland, and then head on east on 2, coming across through the Ottawa National Forest, which is beautiful. And I came finally to Waters Meet, where I almost ran out of gas, and I just had to sit here because the diesel pumps were off. So I just had to sit here last night and sleep here at this little fuel stop at Waters Meet. And then I'm heading on down to Iron River, staying on 2 all the way across this little peninsula that sticks out into between Lake Superior and Lake Huron, on to Escanaba and Gladstone, and then all the way across there to Mackinac, and then crossing the bridge, the big bridge up there, and coming down 23 past Sheboygan. I'll bet they love that. Huron Beach, Roger City, and so forth. And some of these names I don't know how to pronounce, but I'll be heading through this really beautiful coastline along Lake Huron in northern Michigan, and that's what I'm going to be doing today. And the whole trip, really, because we're going down through Michigan all the way down to Detroit and then across Ohio, this whole podcast is really about the industrial center of America. Michigan, Ohio, Wisconsin, Illinois, this really, the Great Lakes region has been, as I said in another podcast, it's really been kind of forgotten in terms of history. Now, I was raised up here, so I was raised in Chicago. All the Great Lakes is a huge part of my experience. And when we, you know, obviously we were taught, when we were taught history, we were taught a lot about our region. We were taught a lot about Lake Michigan and Huron and Michigan and Ohio you know, not so much Minnesota, but Wisconsin. And Minnesota, being much more of an agricultural state, it's forgotten that northern Minnesota provided the ore for most of the steel in America during the early 20th century. So this section of the country is really key and important, and it's often forgotten because of the Great Western Myth, which, of course, you know, some of which really happened, which really took hold of the American imagination with the stories of cowboys and California and exploration from the Southwest all the way up to the Northwest. And of course, the East all has the Revolutionary period, and the South has the Civil War. But the Great Lakes region is really an amazing part of the United States.
Think of what it would be like if California's Silicon Valley extended across four states and everybody in those states was involved and working in some way, shape, or form, manufacturing, mining, transportation, rail, whatever, in association with this region called Silicon Valley. Well, there was a place like that, and it was, of course, this Great Lakes region. It's also a place that's becoming the centerpiece of the current political discussion. And when you step out into the cool morning air up here and you realize that this is a place where logging was big, you know, and mining, with candidates talking about bringing jobs back to the core of the manufacturing regions of the United States, that means Michigan, Indiana, Wisconsin, northern Minnesota, and especially the Great Lakes region. Well, that puts it front and center in our current political discussion. And it is an incredible place from top to bottom. It's a forgotten place. A lot of blue water, golden sand, green fields and trees, perfectly kept towns, both up in the woods and then when you get down on the beaches. Really, it's a storybook kind of place. And when you're here, you can't help but think of the time when it was at its peak back in the 1940s and 50s and 20s and 30s. And, of course, the real tragedy of what happened when it was hit so hard economically during the 70s and early 80s.
All right.
Looks so, good.
So what's a, what is that, a pasty?
Pasty.
Pasty?
It's a meat pie, beef, potato, carrot, onion, wrapped up in a pastry dough, like a crust.
Where does it come from?
Well, we don't make ours here. Some places do.
Oh, okay. What's the history of them? Why are they only around here?
I can come back.
Okay.
I can come back to somebody that's waiting for it.
Okay, sounds good.
One of the coolest places I visited was a place called Iron River. They were organizing a parade as I drove through town, and I went into this breakfast joint, and they served something called a pasty, exclusively, or pasty, something like that. Well, the history is that miners from Cornwall, England, came here in the 1800s, and they brought this traditional hand meal with them. It's a meal in a crust, basically something you could hold in your hand and eat. The mines are closed now, but the recipe has been handed down generation by generation. And it's just about the best thing that you ever had. Well, it was a great preparation to take a tour of the Upper Peninsula and the Lake Huron side of Michigan all the way down to Detroit. So many great places and great people. If you get the chance, visit. Coming up, we know now that the RNC was a bruising affair for so many so-called principled conservatives. We're going to talk about it with Mike Opelka at the convention at the Politico Hub from The Blaze, coming up next. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. For more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. For more of the Bob Davis Podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. So the next target for Mobile Podcast Command is Oshkosh. And I'm getting ready to roll out of here tonight and head up to Oshkosh to get there and get in position for Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, to get parked under the tower where I always park. I have full media credentials for the EAA air show this year. I'm super excited about that. I'm out there for Alpha Systems. Because if you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems can help you with that. They make the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. And the bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives because you have a visual representation of your angle of attack when you turn on final approach. And they've got all kinds of different systems. They've got an audio-only system. You know, they've got all kinds of new wrinkles to Alpha Systems. So you want to see them at EAA if you're going and you want to see Mark Koren in action demonstrating and talking about Alpha Systems. There's always pilots gathered around because, you know, we have 100,000 pilots at least in private aviation. And, you know, they like to talk about it and they like to talk about these tools and what they're good for and if they're good and what they're for. And Mark can stand there and just he'll talk to the first guy and he will be the first to get there and the last to leave. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. There's videos and I'm sure you'll be able to find out where they are at EAA from checking out the site. Okay, here is segment 3 of the Bob Davis Podcast's radio show for this week. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. For more of the podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. One of the coolest places at the RNC has to be the Politico Hub, a kind of madman meets politics lounge on the top floor of one of Cleveland's resurgent historic buildings on Euclid in Cleveland. At the Politico Hub, I ran into Mike Opelka from The Blaze, who had just come from the floor of the RNC on that tumultuous and historic first day of the convention. So I'm walking around the Politico Hub, which is a really cool lounge, and this is really what Radio Row should look like. But Radio Row is just a bunch of tables and a bunch of guys. It's just not very exciting this year. And who do I run into but my old friend Mike Opelka? We worked in New York together at Z100.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
You used the word old a little too quickly.
Old friend. Well, you know.
Yes, we are. We're advanced compared to many of the millennials gathered here.
Yeah, this is kind of a young room, which is pretty cool, actually.
And I agree with you completely. This is what Radio Row should look like.
Yeah.
There are people working. There are people mingling. It is very comfortable. It's also very high tech.
Yeah.
And the Radio Row here looks like a Turkish market on a rainy day. Everyone's behaving like dogs. And they're arguing and debating and negotiating. And there are more lies told in that room between old radio guys than you'd have at a family picnic.
Well, and not just that, but the thing that always drove me crazy was that it's really just the spinners descend on the place like flies. And if somebody who is of a national stature, and you remember it was 2008.
Yeah.
In St. Paul.
Yep.
And then again in Tampa, Michelle Bachmann, who at the time was quite, you know, she was really hot.
She was the thing.
And she was being followed by probably 50 international media, and it was ridiculous.
If she could have walked on water.
Oh, my God. They were everywhere.
They damn near made her Jesus at the moment. She really was. And, of course, because of where it was in Minnesota, she was really holding forth with all of the minions from the neighborhood as well. So she had a built-in posse,
just following her around.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you get the entertainers and everybody who's just spinning and walking up and down Radio Row. This is more, I wouldn't say it's more sedate, but it's like you said, it's more focused. It's more, people are working, people are networking, people are.
It looked a little madmanish at the bar, too. There were guys swirling martinis here as they get all emotionally lubricated before the evening session.
Yeah, and they're going to do a bunch of political stuff. But so you've been here what? You were here for the big floor fight today.
Yes, I was sitting actually straight across from the podium when the Utah delegation proposed the roll call vote, and then they put the hammer down on that, said, well, you know you need 9, but 3 of them pulled out, so you got to go. And then there were boos, and there were people standing and walking out, and the Texas delegation almost threw their hats at people. It was crazy.
Well, Ken Cuccinelli threw his credentials down.
Yes, he did. Did you see him? Was he here tonight?
He's in a meeting right now. They're all meeting, trying to figure out what to do. But the thing I want to know is was this without basis, or what happened to the 3 states that supposedly pulled out of it?
Well, that's the question. Which 3 and why? Was there a backroom deal, which usually happens? And, you know, this was all set up ahead of time because the RNC, they hold all the cards. So Reince knows exactly what he's doing ahead of the schedule.
Right.
And I'm sure they had, okay, and if you just had it where you missed it by 1, it's going to make everybody real mad, which is basically what happened.
I mean, this is politics. This is the way it works. But why is the establishment backing Trump suddenly? I thought that was kind of a big surprise. Supposedly they weren't going to back Trump.
Well, it looks like they're reading the tea leaves. Trump has all those ads running against him. Hillary has run millions of dollars of ads, or those PACs have run millions of dollars of ads, slamming him for the things he said about women, the things he said about Hispanics, about disabled people. And if you look at the latest polls, he's either ahead in swing states or virtually tied with Hillary. So after all of that, he hasn't spent a nickel on national advertising. He's still there, right there in competition. And you know the RNC is going, well, if we back him, maybe he'll just squash her.
How can they back him, though? This is the thing that's interesting. What happened to, wasn't there some relic in the past? I'm trying to remember, it's kind of foggy. Maybe I need some more oxygen.
Maybe.
Something called a principled conservative?
Yeah, and what happened, it's an endangered species. I think if we call the EPA, they're probably staking staking territory out around the whole convention.
To protect.
That's what those fences are for, and the internal area there.
To protect
the principal conservatives who are left. You won't have to take your shoes off to count them, apparently. So this will be fascinating to watch this play out over the course of this week. I'll tell you what, honestly, I'm not allowed to select a candidate, but I didn't believe it would be Trump. A year ago, I bet a steak dinner at a big expensive restaurant in Miami to a radio guy down there who told me last June 20th Trump was going to be the nominee. And I told him he was crazy and made a bet. And
well, I'm kind of not surprised that he got the votes in the primaries. I thought for sure there would be a more robust challenge to his nomination.
There was. If you think about it, if you go back, yes, he won. But he did not get a majority of all the votes cast. If you add up the 16 other candidates of the 17, they still got more votes than he got.
So, all votes.
Yes.
But he has enough delegates without some kind of a challenge. So, you know, I'm a little surprised that the establishment laid down like that.
I think they realize that there's nothing they can do, and if they dismiss all of those votes he got, they're going to lose everything. They'll lose the House, they'll lose the Senate, they'll lose the White House. So I think that's the game they're playing is to minimize any loss they might have in order to save the future of the party.
What party? What future?
Well, that's the big question. This was the wildest first day of a convention I can remember.
As far as Republicans are concerned?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty. Usually they're pretty sedate on the first day. So.
Yeah, because it's rules and wonkiness, and that's the only time we hear from the Marianas Islands and Guam.
That's their big moment.
Yeah, they get a moment of the sun.
Ladies and gentlemen, the people of Guam.
I think the RNC is going to be quieter than the DNC.
You think the DNC is going to go crazy?
Absolutely. And I know this from, I got some guys on the ground in Philly because I'm close to Philly. And I've been doing recon work myself up in the Philly Terminal Market weekly for the last 3 weeks, just talking to the people. And the other thing is, when you come to this city, the streets are pretty wide.
Yeah.
Philly is an
this is
old,
Gotham
tight city.
Yeah.
And those streets are really compressed. Even though this is all down by the convention is going to be all down by the sports complex, the protests are going to be in the city, and they're going to swarm it. The one you want to see, although I think you may not be there, there's a group of Bernie Sanders protesters who are going to perform the entire musical of Les Mis on the streets.
Wow.
And I don't know why anyone would want to miss that.
One of the great things about the RNC were the street musicians in Cleveland. This is Mr. Sachs playing us out of this segment. Coming up, when the Republican establishment joined forces with Trump, they may have killed the grassroots. How is that possible? Next. To hear all the podcasts, visit the BobDavisPodcasts.com. For more of this show, visit GCNLive.com. Live from a farm about 30 miles south of Chicago, this is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. All right, back in the studio, just ahead of segment 4 for the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show for this week, GCN 36, of course. I just want two things I want to mention to people. If you want to make a donation, as we are on the road, and I've gotten a couple two donations, Sue Solomon, really appreciate it. It doesn't matter if it's $5 or $100 or whatever you want. It goes right into the fuel tank. It goes to buy Komodo Dragon coffee and beef jerky, which I have right here in the trusty cabinet. And, you know, it really helps. And I really, really appreciate the donations that I've received on the trip. I'll do, when I get to the air show, I'll pull the whole list and I'll read the whole list of donations because I really, really appreciate them. Also, go to thebobdavispodcast.com and sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter. There is a little form that you can fill out. I can't just send people the newsletter. You have to sign up for it as a special deal and give me permission to sort of mass email so it you don't think it's spam. And we do that through MailChimp and, of course, the donations through PayPal. And right under the newsletter thing is the PayPal donate button if you want to donate. Okay. So thanks once again to Ed Cairo for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. Cairo Contracting, they can help you with storm damage, residential and business, and this is all they do. They do not do interior contracting. They only do exteriors, roofing, siding, gutters, and window repair and installation, all stuff that is affected from storms that we are having because of these heat waves. I still have gutter issues at the house that I rent because of a storm a couple years ago where they took down a tree, and you know, this is the kind of stuff that's got to get fixed or it creates additional problems. I can tell you all about it, believe me. Anyway, that's the deal. And thanks, Ed Cairo, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. 612-702-2357. That's 612-702-2357. Cairo Contracting. They are storm damage specialists and Better Business Bureau accredited. Call them today if you have storm damage this summer. All right, here is segment four of this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Remember, for all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. For more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. The GOP establishment utterly rejected the Republican grassroots at its convention. The only exception is Senator Ted Cruz, who is being vilified right now for sticking to something called principle. I rolled out of the convention, headed for Illinois, and as I sat around a bonfire with my best friend from high school, I talked with Mandy Benz from Cleveland just after Ted Cruz's speech.
I like really what he had to say. He didn't criticize Trump. He congratulated him. He didn't say anything negative about Trump. He talks about what Cruz always talks about, what he's always said about the Constitution and about voting your principles. And he said, vote your conscience, but please go out and vote. You don't stay home.
Do you think he destroyed his career?
Absolutely not. You know, this was what's great. He had to be very, he had to think this out. This is his base. His base is extremely loyal. And when I was at his rally earlier, too, he said, hey, this is about, we're beholden to principles. This isn't about a candidate. This isn't about a guy. This is about principles, the Constitution. And if people want to boo him tonight, I really, really want to like Trump. I really want to vote for him, but I'm not there. And I'm not there because I have values and principles that come first before a candidate, and he doesn't match those. They think their guy is fantastic. They love their guy, just like I supported my guy. And this is what's great about the Republican Party, or supposedly. I don't know that we're much of a party left, but that's debatable. Any event, let's just say this for any of your sake and for the fun here being on the radio, that we are supposed to be the party of ideas. So what if we don't agree on everything? They were cheering Senator Cruz on everything he said until he got to that one point.
Well, they expected him to endorse. I have to tell you, if he had endorsed Trump, I would have thought that would have ruined his career. Not.
Yeah, that's how I viewed it.
This is the thing. Is the herd mentality so overwhelming that everybody now has to be excited about Trump? Is that the idea?
Right. That's what they think. They think if you don't conform, I mean, basically, this convention, what I will tell you, what happened on Monday, this is a very forceful convention. It's not genuine. It's not authentic. authentic. It's very forceful, and it doesn't sit well. You can feel it. It's not real. It's not genuine. And being at Senator Cruz's rally today, of course I'm a Cruz fan, so people say, well, of course you think this because you like Cruz. Well, I didn't support Cruz for the man, okay? And most people that know me on a personal level should know that about me. If not, then, I don't know, then don't friend me on, you know, Facebook and don't hang out with me. I really don't care.
Well, right? You know me. It's never been about who you supported. You know, I celebrate people who get involved in politics and do something, especially at the organizational level. I don't particularly like Ted Cruz. You know that.
That's okay.
I was on the campaign trail with him a lot. I wasn't that impressed with him. But you know what? Tonight,
that's okay.
At least if he had endorsed Trump, I would have been like, what the?
Like, you are a sellout. Like, I mean, seriously, we watched Scott Walker do that tonight. I loved Scott Walker. I mean, well, this election has been extremely clarifying and revealing. You know, Cruz would say, and this is true, everything he said has really been interesting. And one of them is, hey, all these candidates, they run and they say they're constitutional conservatives, that they're campaign conservatives. Nobody says, hey, look at me, I'm a squishy moderate, I don't stand for anything. Nobody says that. Nobody. And so, and he's right when he says that. He proved himself that everything he said has been right, that he's followed his word. And you have to respect a man for that. And then, you know, I had a few comments on Facebook, somebody that typically falls into the libertarian category and say, well, okay, so what about, you know, he signed a form, you know, a commitment saying he would back the endorsed candidate. And I said, well, here it is. This is how I look at it. If you're getting married and your best man decides he wants to trash your wife and or your future fiance and say all sorts of things, are you really going to have him as your best man in your wedding? Yeah, probably not. So sometimes, in certain circumstances...
You know what I say? Take your pledge and shove it where the sun don't shine. I hate these pledges.
Kidding.
Sign this pledge. No. Okay, you want me to sign it? Fine. I want to talk about what they did with the rules, because I don't think people fully understand. I was at the Politico Hub, and I was talking to actually a Bernie supporter who was like, well, I'm voting for Trump. And so we started talking about what they did in the Rules Committee. And I've yet to see anyone, with the exception of myself, jump on this idea that they have changed the rules so that there will be really that the idea of a grassroots Republican movement is pretty much over. Is that true?
That is true. That is what happened. And the only way that you can physically see that is A, by watching the rules, which is extremely lengthy, unless you're a political wonk and you enjoy that sort of thing, very much like I do, which is probably not normal. But am I saying I'm not normal? Maybe. I don't know. But any event, what we do have here from at the convention, we have the rules of the Republican Party as recommended. And then the delegates were also then received permanent role of the delegates. We have not seen the actual physical copy of what has happened, which is really concerning. And that's nowhere to be seen. That's being hidden right now. And that's a concern.
The word is that they've made it almost impossible for any future Ron Pauls or Ted Cruz's to emerge. How did they do that?
Representative Cindy Q had an amendment that would prevent paid lobbyists, to be able to run on committees for the RNC, which I think is one piece of where a power grab. Anything that dealt with power grabs, we tried to limit and roll that back and make it local. And essentially what happened is they would prohibit debate, so they would call the vote, and they would gavel it down, and they would just ram it through.
But what rules did they change? But what rules did they change that makes it difficult for grassroots supporters to build a movement?
You know, Cindy has more staunch breakdown on that. So there's a couple of things. So I think the only one small, tiny thing that was good is that instead of the 8 states, they rolled it back down to the 5 states. That was done in the part of the Rule 40B. So that piece of it, but we're still bound. So they actually—that's the other piece. We have never technically been bound to Ford.
Well, that's a matter of opinion. That's a matter of opinion. Go ahead. Oh, you're saying
right.
Till 1976.
But essentially, what they did is they voted to bind us permanently. The only way the Unbound Movement could have worked or could have been successful was only in the Rules Committee to allow a minority report to go through. If we did not have the votes for a minority report to bring to the floor, then that was dead in the water, which is precisely what happened in Rules. Now, there were about approximately four minority reports. Now, we couldn't get all the signatures on all of them. Some people liked one piece, but not this. And they liked that, but not this. That sort of thing. So we never got a minority report. Had we gotten a minority report onto the floor, we could have voted to unbind. But that piece didn't happen. So once that happened, that was done. Now we had to look at, okay, what can we do? What do we have left? Because they keep chipping it away and chipping away. You don't understand how conservative you are till you're faced with a challenging situation upon your own self. It's so easy to say, I'm conservative about this, until you're put into a situation where you have to really think about where your principles are as a person. When you hit those crossroads, you really realize how strong a person is. And we see that all the time. I mean, people, meanwhile, they run for office, and they really think they're conservative. They get down there, and they peel off. Well, why? This is a very similar tactic that happens, too. Typically, it's the DFL trying to do it to us or us to them. But when it's the enemy within, in your own party, you know, it's really dangerous terms to be, you know, that's just really a bad place to be.
Once again, thanks to Mandy Benz, organizer for Senator Ted Cruz, for joining me on the podcast after his speech. That is all for this week's installment of the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. Thanks for listening. Visit the BobDavisPodcast.com and sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast Bobline newsletter. For all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit the BobDavisPodcast.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show.
What they do, they smile in your face.
All the time they want to take your place, the backstabbers.
Backstabbers, they smile in your face.
All the time they want to take your place, the backstabbers.
Backstabbers.
All you fellas who have some money and you really care, yeah.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show podcast 528. Thanks for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, or tune in blogtalkradio.com. I really appreciate the liking and the sharing and the favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter, and especially Instagram, my favorite social media, because there's no snarking. Instagram, I'm the Bob Davis Podcast on Instagram and at Bob Davis Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, whatever, you know. And thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. They are powering us through this summer trip to the Cleveland RNC convention, the EAA air show. And then after that, I'm heading up to Sturgis. And I'm going to go back to Deadwood. So that should be pretty cool. Looking forward to that. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, podcast 528, the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Let's get back to the farm.